John, are you ready?
Yes, sweetheart.
Happy anniversary!
Congratulations on your ongoing love for one another. You did it.
Okay, kids, that's enough. You sound like the incestuous Bloomfields.
Welcome to another episode of Shits and Giggles. We're a Shits Creek podcast, and we are covering the entirety of the series, episode by episode, in chronological order. I'm one of your two hosts. My name is Paul McCambridge, and with me, as always, is my lovely wife, Carla. Carla, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Are you ready to talk about the final episode? We did it! It only took us over a year to get through the first two seasons of Shits Creek.
It's an anniversary spectacular.
It really is, yes. So it is. It's episode 13 of season 2. Lucky 13. Mm-hmm. The episode is called Happy Anniversary. The original air date of the episode was March 29th of 2016.
That seems like so long ago.
It does. I mean, that's over 4 years. That's almost five years ago. Wait, is that right? Yes.
Yeah.
Almost 5 years ago.
Yeah,
when we're
23rd.
Putting this out. Yeah.
Yeah. Like 2016 seems forever ago. I think that's because 2020 was the equivalent of like.
Yeah, I guess.
20 years.
It's directed by Paul Fox, and we've heard his name before. He's been directing since season one, and he will direct through the next season before leaving the show, before his time is done. And this episode is written by Dan Levy. Let's do it. Let's get right into it. This is a big episode, as normally the first and last episodes of the seasons are, pretty much. I mean, I know we're only
on two season
episodes,
two, but
so far,
based on past experience, and based on the fact that obviously we've already watched the entire series,
sure.
We kind of know what's coming. I'm sure many listeners do as well.
Yeah.
And would probably agree with us that, yeah. You know, the first and last episodes are typically pretty big highlights.
Exactly. So, Alexis is dressed for work. She still has her job. She's not been fired or quit or anything yet.
Right. They're just, like, chilling out. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if it's the morning before work or she got home from a long day or what's going on.
Oh.
I guess it would be the morning. Based on timing in the rest of the episode.
Based on the dinner and everything
like
that, yes. I'm sure it's early in the day. 9 o'clock, does she show up?
I don't know.
Work?
You would think Alexis would sleep in.
8:30.
You know?
She's a job now.
I guess. But, like, they had time to just sit around and relax.
Yeah, I know.
Before, I don't ever have time to sit around and relax before I leave for work.
Yeah, but you don't work like a not. Your job doesn't start at 9. And your job isn't within walking distance of your house either.
That's true.
You know, if that was the case, you could probably.
But still, like a vet's office.
Take it easy.
I would think would open early.
Probably before 9. I shouldn't be saying 9.
Yeah. But regardless, it's nice that they can just wake up in the morning and just sit and relax for a little bit.
Well, David doesn't have anything to do.
Well, that's true.
You know,
he's
the
go.
One that should be sleeping.
He's been
in.
Let go from the non-existent Blouse Barn now.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah.
So Johnny comes in, and reminds them that it is he and Moira's anniversary.
Yes, and that they need to shower their mother with anniversary wishes. Right.
To which neither of them are really crazy about this idea.
No, like, I can't imagine they're the kind of family that's like, you know, making a big deal out of wishing each other, you know, birthday celebrations. And although they celebrated Moira's birthday with a party, so.
Oh, I thought you meant you can't imagine that there's a family out there. And then you said birthday, which made me realize.
I can't imagine that they're a family that is like super big into, you know, making a big deal over things like that, or at least the kids. Like, if they were celebrating their birthdays, or they would probably be jetting off to some island
with
friends. At least Alexis would, I'm sure.
Also, I think the idea of an anniversary, because David even says, like, isn't this something that you should probably be saying to each other? Like, that's how I feel about it. I mean, if our, as our kids get older, if they don't wish us a happy anniversary, I'm not going to blame them for that. I don't really think that that's...
Yeah.
If in this episode he said something like, this is our 30th anniversary or
40th. Like a milestone.
Yes,
then you
exactly.
feel that more of a celebratory reaction is one.
Because this is something that the two of them should celebrate. You don't need to get your kids involved in this.
Yeah, but it's just nice.
I think it's nice. Sure. They do talk about another family.
The Bloomfields.
The Bloomfields.
The Bloomfield kids would have thrown their parents an anniversary party.
Sure.
But there would have been a big celebration.
But they had a very weird relationship.
Oh, the incestuous Bloomfield?
The skinny-dipping family?
Yeah, that's true. David brings that up first, and then Moira kind of confirms that idea.
Yes.
When she comes in.
Because they make such a big deal about happy anniversary.
Right, of course.
Such an over-the-top sort of
celebrating
way.
Your love for each other, and you made it, you did it, and stuff. Right. Moira's just totally turned off by the whole display of fake affection.
yeah. Now, are we, you're probably better at locations than I am. Are we at the cafe?
We are at the cafe. Right. They head out for an anniversary breakfast.
I know there's limited locations for me to keep in mind, but.
Yeah. So they are just relaxing at the cafe in the morning. Yeah. Everybody, I want to live there, even though they lost
a
considerable amount of
jobs.
Money. I know. It just would be so lovely to be able to, like, just trot over to the cafe and enjoy a light breakfast before starting my day of nothing.
No, I...
That's like a dream come true.
You know what? It is...
Let's be honest.
And I say that they don't have jobs, but, yeah, Jocelyn's there.
Well,
Should she be at school? Like, what time? What time is it?
I don't know.
Is it 5 a.m. or something? It certainly doesn't seem like it.
No, I don't know. Maybe it's a Saturday. We don't even know. Alexis could go to work
The vet office is open.
And it would
make
sense. They could certainly go and enjoy a dinner on a Saturday. Do they mention if it's... I don't know. I don't recall if they mention the day when they discuss making a reservation.
They do talk about...
I think it's probably a weekend.
It might be.
Because
the hostess does bring up how he was lucky that somebody canceled.
And also, I'm kind of thinking if Mutt is throwing a big soiree.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be a weekend party.
Yeah, this is
not
a
during the
Friday
week. So, yeah,
at best.
We're kind of dumb.
I'll cut all that out. I'll be like, so on Saturday morning, and then I'll just splice that in at the beginning. So they are invited. Jocelyn and Roland invite them to dinner.
They're gifting them a dinner, right, in Elmdale, because there's absolutely no catch to it. It's just what they do for any new council members.
Right. Every new council member gets a dinner.
Yeah. And which makes me think, can you imagine, like, their cute little dinner, like when they went with Bob and Gwen?
And who were the council members at that time? Who knows?
Well, I'm saying, it was, you know, Jocelyn and Roland and... Maybe there's
Ray.
Other members. Ray was
there.
We
don't get an order of when they were all elected to council.
Yeah, that would be interesting to know.
Yeah.
Or do you think this is just a new thing that they're starting?
I think they have a coupon and they want to use it.
Oh, right.
I think that's what this is.
I guess. So they probably, it's not even true.
New council members don't
get a dinner, maybe.
All right.
I don't know.
Bob and Gwen out to dinner with Roland and
Jocelyn. Well, we already
know
they hung out together because we saw that picture in their cabin.
Right. No,
the
I know.
Four of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think they probably had cute little dining experiences to welcome everyone into council. I'd like to think that anyway.
I like this. I want, you know, prequels to this show.
Of course.
Dinners. Just
I want to know what everybody's lives were like.
Just do it as
prior
like
to the arrival of the roses.
10-minute skits. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I think that would be fun. Let's make that happen. Let's write to Dan Levy now.
Yeah.
As soon as we're done here.
We're like, I know you're probably trying to get past Schitt's Creek and,
I don't know. I think they're...
Something else, you know, branch out. But if you could do us a huge favor.
I don't know. You constantly hear people that are really like wishing for a movie, you mm-hmm. know, that they'll you know, take a couple years and then, you know, create a movie and stuff. And
yeah, I'm,
you know, I feel like I always see articles that it's like they're not ruling out the idea of a movie. So I don't know that they're really truly ready to totally put it behind them.
Oh no, no.
You know, they're moving into other projects, but you know, it would be nice if they would come back and revisit at some point.
Yeah.
Give us another little glimpse into the life of the Roses.
No,
but
they I read an article recently, and you know that I'm rewatching Community, mm-hmm. and that show ended in 2016, and they're still talking about possibly a movie.
Oh wow!
So, yeah, and people like, I don't know, Donald Glover is a successful rapper, music artist, let's say now.
Okay.
And he said he'd be willing to do it. I know we're off on, you know, to a different show, but
remember we had a Twin Peaks conversation one time.
Sure. You know. Yeah.
Whatever.
That's anyway, why people tune in to listen to things other than Schitt's Creek.
Well, right. Well, I mean, we try to stay on track as much as we can.
Yeah, we don't do this a whole lot.
So,
right.
Get back to it. Let's go.
All right. So
they have a coupon.
A coupon. Because at first, Johnny and Moira are interested in this, the idea that they're going to get dinner, because it's not revealed that it's with Roland and Jocelyn.
Not immediately.
Right away.
Right. They kind of then share, you know, all of them need to go because of their coupon. and then they kind of ironically.
Three dinners and you get one free, right? Basically four for the price of three.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, but then, you know, they kind of say, oh, that would be so much fun if it wasn't our anniversary.
Yes. Moira basically uses their anniversary
as an excuse
to not eat with them.
Yep. So they can't go. And then as Jocelyn and Roland kind of leave, they're like, oh, that was a really close call.
Right.
Like they were super concerned that they were going to have to. And they've eaten dinner with them before, obviously, at their house.
Several times.
Which is always an interesting experience.
Yes.
So, yeah, I don't think they were particularly looking forward to socializing with them.
No, but also.
But it was like Elmdale's most exclusive restaurant.
Yes. And that's what's a little bit surprising, because given their financial issues and given later that Moira thinks that there's some big surprise that Johnny's going to be getting, like, they have to know that this might be their best opportunity to eat at a good restaurant on their anniversary.
Well, maybe she's just still holding out hope that he has planned something special, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, so she's like, no, it's our anniversary, because she's anticipating that he has something up his sleeve. It sounds like he usually, you know, is maybe a, well, we know he's not a good gift giver. You know, maybe he's
probably a good party thrower, because other people probably do it for him.
Well, right, David did that. Yeah, like her party with the cups, this garland.
What?
They used, like, cups to make decorations for Moira's birthday party, you know. But, yeah, I mean, I think you're right in thinking that somebody else probably just does it all. But I'm sure they've had extravagant anniversary celebrations
trips,
in the past.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
She's probably assuming something is planned, not.
Right. She thinks he took the $40,000 check that David got
maybe.
And dumped all of that into an anniversary celebration.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
So now we're back at the motel, but we are in the lobby slash office slash.
It's an office.
Okay, the office.
Yep,
all right.
That's what I'm going with.
And where did David get Steve's
yearbook? It was like just sitting. I feel like it was, you know, like there's magazines
like where the games
there you
are?
Can pick up. That's what it seemed like. It seemed like it was just sort of on a shelf. And she's like, what are you doing with that? Put it back. Like, put it away, basically.
It seems odd for that to be there. I mean, we have not seen Stevie's apartment yet. So at this point in the series, for all we know, she lives in the back room?
Or upstairs, like, in the upstairs space.
Yeah.
Occasionally,
but it's just,
very occasionally.
It seems odd, though, when we finally find out she doesn't live there. Like, she has an apartment that this yearbook would be here.
Well,
but
I
it's
mean,
funny
if
enough.
You think about it, well, why would it be at a motel, though? I don't know. Maybe a lot of people from her high school class frequented that motel.
You know what? You're right. Maybe it's not even her yearbook.
True.
It's just a yearbook from that year. Maybe she has a shelf of all the yearbooks from Schitt's Creek High.
Maybe.
And it's just
that's what
in
I was thinking.
Office.
Well, maybe there's like a collection of yearbooks, but why would they be at a random motel? But yeah, that was probably a place that, you know, high school kids would go hang out.
Sure. And bring your yearbooks and then leave them in the office.
Maybe.
Right.
And that her yearbook
her
picture is
great.
Great.
It's really funny.
Yes.
Yes.
Like super short, funny hair.
Yep.
And I like her. She was voted most likely to get the guy.
Yeah, which, is that a joke?
I'm not really sure.
That had to be a joke, right?
Well, we don't know what she was like in high school. She's pretty, like, sarcastic and stuff now. Like,
yeah,
maybe
I know.
In high school she was, maybe she slept around.
With that hair, though,
I'm not even really sure, like, what to get from that hair. Is that, like, I'm, like, a preppy, like...
I don't know.
Perfect student kind of. I can't imagine. I don't know.
That hairstyle and her age don't match up either. I don't think.
Yeah,
right? She probably would have graduated high school in the late
90s. I guess she's their age. Like
maybe
David
around
and
2000,
age,
something like
right?
that. Yeah. That looks like an 80s hairstyle. Like a late 80s hairstyle, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
It looks bad.
It was interesting.
It's just,
yeah,
it's
funny.
Bad.
It's great.
Oh, it's played for laughs, and it's
right.
done so well,
yeah.
of course. And it takes her no time at all, just basically, I guess, Googling David Rose.
Oh, yeah.
to find his yearbook photo.
His headshot that or picture that he used to get a job on, to get on Dateline?
Get on Dateline.
Right.
Yes.
As a boy who got abducted from a grocery store?
Right. The Value Mart victim.
Yes, the Value Mart victim.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's funny back and forth. Mm-hmm. And it's something I've been complaining about for
You've
3 to 4 episodes now.
Yes.
And I was, unlike you, didn't really remember this episode, where it was going. I kind of remembered some parts of this.
What? I didn't remember? This is an episode that I know really well.
No, I'm
what
saying,
do you mean?
Unlike you...
Oh, I thought you said, okay.
I probably said it wrong, but you knew where everything was going. I
right.
knew the dinner part of this, mm-hmm. but I didn't remember anything else.
Okay.
So then, just as I have in the other episodes, I was like, well, all right. See you, Stevie. I guess we're done with you for this episode, but thankfully we're not.
No, not at all. She pops back in a couple times.
Right.
Frequently.
But now we get to go to, hey, I have a question. Does this animal veterinary clinic, does it have a name?
I think it just says veterinary clinic.
That's
out
it?
Front.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. It doesn't have a cute,
I don't think so.
Funny name. Okay.
Yeah, no.
All right. So that's where we are now.
Yep. Alexis and Ted, we're having a little scene with them at the vet
sure.
office.
Ted basically drops the news. I mean, mm-hmm. he says it as though Alexis knows about
right.
this, that
right.
Mutt is having a big party.
Not
that, like, Mutt's returned and where's he been. It's just kind of like, yeah, Mutt's
I don't
having
know that
a
Mutt
party.
Really like,
we just left Mutt.
Right. Like, okay. they kind of parted ways and there really wasn't any conversation that he left town.
Right.
So I'd never really assumed
okay.
that he left. I just figured their paths just weren't
right.
really crossing. They were, because, especially, they're both done with their community service. So they really didn't have a need to
yeah.
meet up and paint fences.
If
and
they're
such.
Not painting the same fence or
right.
fixing the same fence, I guess where are we going to see Mutt?
Right.
okay.
So, so I think their paths just haven't really crossed.
Right. Yes.
But, I think he still was hanging around.
I like this idea of just this party where if you're not invited, you can just go. Like, anybody can just go, it seems.
Well,
you know, because...
I mean, yeah, I guess.
Because Alexis
know.
Wasn't invited to this
right.
party. She didn't receive a formal invitation.
But again, this is Alexis. Like, some people, if they weren't invited to a party, they're not going to just show up.
Oh, right, right.
But,
yes.
I mean, it's Alexis, and she...
But it just seems...
You know she was intrigued. You know her
yeah.
feelings were hurt.
Right.
That
but it just
she
seems
isn't included,
weird.
And there's a party in this town, and there's nothing else to do. So she's on board for that.
Right. But why was Ted invited? Like, what? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. I mean, they said they went to high school together. But I mean, not that they have any real sort
right.
of connection, but I mean, when he and Alexis were together and, you know, Mutt and Twyla came
oh,
to things and Stevie and David came
you're
to
right.
things.
Yes.
And so I kind of feel like that was sort of how, not that he didn't know Ted because he did, but I feel like.
Do you think Mutt was.
You're an acquaintance. You
yeah.
live in the town. You're about my age. You're every townie's
yeah.
invited. You know
no,
what I
you're
mean?
Right. Yeah,
I don't
want to
say
sense.
Townie, but like,
okay.
every, you know, people
So you
that
don't
are
think
common...
Mutt was sitting around with Tennessee and was like, well, Ted did invite me over to his apartment for dinner once.
No,
so
I just think it's
guess...
sort of like
It's Mutt's open door policy.
I saw you on my way into the general store, and hey, we're planning a party. You should come. Like, I can't. I don't think formal invitations were sent out or anything.
All right.
But I think it was just every, you know, like the trucker party. Like, all those people were just hanging out together. They all know each other.
Yeah, you're right.
They've
all
lived in that town probably all their lives, and it's just what it is.
Yeah. Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. So now we're back at the cafe. And Johnny gives Moira, I guess, her anniversary gift, which is a cupcake.
The cupcake with the candle.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is when we sort of talked about earlier, Moira thinks that Johnny has something bigger and better and more extravagant planned.
Mm-hmm.
He does say that he did book them reservations.
Right.
At a fancy restaurant.
But he sort of is like, the whole time he's saying it, he kind of sounds like, I made a reservation, like totally making it. You could tell that he didn't, and he was
and
panicking because he's like, how am I going to get this reservation? I don't know.
I love how he's just parroting what Roland just said, kind of like, it's a great restaurant in Elmdale. And then Moira says, kind of a Lady in the Tramp meets 9½ Weeks. Like, that's a weird reference or a mashup of like an odd combination of movies for this dinner. I don't know. It seems strange.
Well, I don't know either. I don't know much about either one of those movies, so.
All right.
I can't really comment on that.
Lady and the Tramp? You don't? The dogs?
The dogs that, like, kiss spaghetti. Over spaghetti? I know that. That's the only thing I know. Okay. Do dogs kiss? I guess they do. So, yeah. That's...
Wait, you mean in real life? What are you talking about? No. Do dogs kiss?
No, I mean, I don't know. Never mind. But anyway, I don't know anything about 9½ Weeks.
It's fine. It's a weird sex movie, but it's like a food sex movie. Or, I mean, not the whole movie, but there's parts.
Well, then I guess that
so,
makes sense.
Yeah, but it's weird to
It's well, like, to connect it to Lady and the
Disney,
Tramp.
Disney, like, G-rated
well,
movie.
Well, I guess they're going to have a nice romantic dinner at a restaurant and share spaghetti and then...
Good
point. You know,
point.
And it's...
Great.
It's, yeah.
Pull whatever they can out of their mini fridge back at the...
I guess. The yogurt hotel. That belongs to Alexis, I'm sure.
Yes. We do cut to this restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're instantly there. This is really interesting that they stick with the same two characters because... A lot of times, or most times, or almost
we do a lot of jumping back and forth.
Yeah,
definitely.
And you would figure when this much time passes, you would want to intercut this with flash to the kids or something like that. But they're at this fancy dinner establishment. It's called a restaurant.
It is called a restaurant. Okay. Good job.
So
they're immediately talking to the hostess, the maitre d'.
Immediately she blows his story.
Oh, totally.
Because she's the one that says, it's a good thing people canceled. And he's even trying to say, like, oh, well, I don't know what you're talking. I booked this far in advance.
And
So this hostess, and she's just credited as hostess, is played by Kayla Lorette. She has an extensive IMDb filmography. She's been doing a lot of work in the past 10 years.
Oh, wow.
So I just, a few that we've heard before, she was in Odd Squad.
Mm-hmm.
She was in Workin' Moms, Kim's Convenience, and had main roles in a series called Space Riders, Gary and His Demons, Cupcake and Dino, General Services. I love those because the names are so great.
I know. There is always a lot of really good.
They do. They name things in an interesting fashion.
Yeah, like
it
totally makes me want to find out, like, what is the show about? And...
Right.
Yeah.
Cupcake and Dino?
Oh, totally.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Is one a dinosaur?
Maybe. And one's a cupcake?
If it's animated. I don't know. All right. So we don't know anything about it. Stay tuned for our next podcast. After we're done with Schitt's Creek, it's the Cupcake and Dino podcast.
Okay.
So they immediately then meet a couple of old friends.
Yes. Bev and Don.
Bev and Don. So now we got more people. So Don Taylor, they're the Taylors.
Mm-hmm.
So his name is John, would you say Bourges or Bourgeois? It ends in O-I-S.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, anyway.
My French is a little rusty since I've never taken French.
Oh, that's.
So I don't know.
Okay. So he's been acting since 1987. Lots of TV and a whole lot of TV show based on movies.
Okay.
Friday the 13th, the series, RoboCop, the series,
oh, wow.
Highlander, the series, The Firm, the series, Ransom, the series, and a ton of other stuff.
I didn't even know they made series out of all those movies.
They did. A lot of them didn't last very long.
I assume.
But he was in all of them.
Wow. Yes. Okay.
So let's move immediately to Bev, who's played by Sherry Miller. She was on one episode of SCTV in 1977.
Oh,
so it makes me wonder if, like,
little reconnection
Eugene,
there.
Like, remembered her and was like, oh, yeah, you know, her resume came in or something and it jumped out. She was also in the TV series Friday the 13th and RoboCop and Highlander, but in different episodes than this guy.
Oh, that's funny. They weren't anything together.
Yep.
Interesting.
And she was in pretty big movies like The Virgin Suicides and Johnny Mnemonic, and in a personal favorite movie of mine.
Oh, man.
She was in the John Landis film, The Stupids.
Oh, that is a personal favorite of
yours.
Yes. You're not too embarrassed to even admit that.
No. I'll put that out there for tens of people to hear now.
Yeah. The tens of people that are listening.
Yes. David, so now we're at the party.
Yeah.
You know, because they meet these friends and they're like, oh, yeah, come on, sit down.
Actually,
go ahead.
I just think it's interesting to me.
Yeah.
We never really know. We never get an actual idea of, like, location for any of this.
Schitt's
Creek is a very, like, you know, it's just a town. We don't really know. We know David lived in New York. Like, we don't really have a reference as to where this town is. They never give that information. And I just thought it was interesting. They were just, like, passing through. But, like, they had never heard of this town before. They took a scenic route, they said. They had dropped their, I'm assuming, they said they dropped Mackenzie off at college. So I'm guessing their daughter.
Mm-hmm. She's going to Elmdale U.
Somehow I doubt that. But I just, I don't know. I just thought it was really interesting. Like, it makes me wonder, like,
geographically, sure.
Obviously, this child could be going to college in a completely different state. Like, that's, you know, that wouldn't be unusual by any means. But I just thought, how interesting and ironic is it that you're dropping your daughter off somewhere. You used to be very wealthy friends together, and you just happen to be taking this scenic route and pass along here. And that just makes me kind of wonder, like, how close are they to where they were living previously and all that kind of stuff. Like, I'm just, you know, just something to think about.
I've always had it in my head that they lived in California.
I know, you've often said that.
West Coast, and David was in New York, and they bought this town, the Midwest, or something like that, as a joke, which they wouldn't be driving back, you know?
Yeah.
They wouldn't be. Mm-hmm. And also, these people are super wealthy, and maybe they have a great relationship with their kid, but this just seems like they'd have someone else drive their kid to school, or the kid would drive themselves, or you know what I mean?
Maybe
or
they'd like
put them on a little
Bloomfields.
Oh, they're a very close family?
Maybe.
Is what you're saying? Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. No, and I don't think it's like weird that they put this in. It just made me, it just piqued my interest. Like, I don't think like, why did they do that? That's dumb.
Right.
Like, why, you know, why would they just be passing through? It just piqued my interest about like locations and trying to like piece together that piece of it.
But this almost makes me think that they might be in California then. Like, it's such a crazy, crazy big state that they could buy a nothing town in Northern California or something.
Yeah. I don't know. I have a hard time not, and I know this is like, this obvious, it makes sense, but I have a hard time not thinking that, like, that it's obviously because they filmed in Canada and it's a Canadian show, that it's Canada. Like, it's really hard for me to even think of it in another location.
Oh, yes, I just think of the red tape involved probably with a U.S. citizen buying a town in Canada would be way more to deal with than in your own country.
Well, but, they were wealthy. I'm sure they could just pull some strings and there's your town, you know.
The whole thing could be in Canada, right?
I don't know.
You know, they never even say what country they're in.
Yeah, I mean, I guess when they... Well, at the end, when they go to New York, they obviously have to fly there.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I mean, they're not in New York.
Okay.
The town.
We've eliminated one state there that they're not in.
So there's 49 to go.
If I eliminate Connecticut, too, they could probably drive pretty easily.
I don't know. Doesn't it seem like Bev and Don could be living in, like...
It never snows where they are.
Wealthy Connecticut area.
Oh, of course. Yeah. No, definitely. Yeah. Yes.
You know. But anyway, so yeah, I just think it just leads right. me to continue to ponder the idea of where is this town?
Plus, they could be driving scenic route back to the airport. You know, who even knows that they're driving to and from their house to college and so on.
Yep.
But anyway, they agree to have dinner with them.
Yes, they do.
Long story
they're
short.
Dying to know what the Roses have been up to.
Yes. So now we're at Mutt's barn party.
Mm-hmm.
And David is at the party, and some dude just starts hitting on him.
Well, first of all, before that even happens, he gets there, and Stevie has shown up in her little black dress,
looking super fancy.
You know, and he's like, "What are you doing?" Basically, like, "I've never seen you dress this way. I've never, you
We've
know."
We've never seen her dress this
and
way.
And I think their conversation, like, back to the motel, and she was most likely to get the guy in the yearbook, and she doesn't have a guy. So I think she was
that
like,
"I
am ready to mingle and you know, and meet somebody." And you know, she said, "Me, I want to meet someone, and I do what I want."
Yes.
That was like her little quote from this scene. But yes, then David kind of wanders over to the bar area, which loosely we'll call it a little bar area. And
this guy basically tells him that he does not want to use the ice cubes because they're well water ice cubes. This character, and we will see him a few times, this character of Jake is played by Steve Lund. This is the first of 5 episodes that he'll be on in this series.
Mm-hmm.
All TV series or TV movies for this guy. Like, that's sort of all that he's done. Some usuals like Alphas, Nikita, and Lost Girl. He played Ernest Hemingway in a series called Frankie Drake Mysteries.
Oh, okay.
And his most recent work in 2020, he was in 2 movies.
Isn't he in a Hallmark movie?
Based on the title,
it sounds so much like a Hallmark movie.
It's called Unlocking Christmas.
Just
the cover, the poster, whatever.
Yes.
It looks like a
Hallmark
movie.
I feel like I remember
movie.
Seeing that, you know, he was just in like a Hallmark-esque movie.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
So when he's talking to Stevie, Stevie seems surprised that Jake is hitting on him or that David thinks that he was. She does mention that she knows him.
Yeah, because he kind of says, like, the guy at the bar is totally into me.
Yes.
Yeah, and he kind of then says to her, like, was he one of your high school conquests?
Right.
With
that hair.
With that
possibly.
Hair. Right.
And it's just, and it's so weird, too, because they almost, like, make this, it's almost like they have a contest to just bag this guy at this party.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Well, I think, again, I'm sure, like, Stevie knows him, you know?
Sure.
And she probably does have some history with him, I think.
Yeah.
Or wanted some history with him, you know,
right.
if it didn't happen at any point.
Did all these people, like, Stevie had to have gone to high school with Mutt.
I guess.
I mean, maybe not the same year, though, because...
I feel like Stevie seems younger.
I thought so, too.
Than him. But, yeah,
this
I mean,
Jake
regardless.
Jake guy seems younger, too, I guess.
Oh, you think? I
Ted
think he seems...
And Mutt? I don't know.
I don't
they
know
all
that
seem
he
around
seems...
the same age.
Yeah, I totally think so. I don't know that he seems younger. I think his lifestyle seems... Like, just his... Makes him seem maybe not as... Well, it's hard to compare him to
Put
Ted.
Together?
Because, Ted, like, you know, but again, he has a job. He works in his barn. He does woodworking. He has a whole business.
Sure.
So, yeah, I don't know. I didn't get a, like, younger vibe from him as much.
Okay.
Stevie, I do get a little more of a younger vibe.
Yeah.
But
I don't know
not
why,
considerably
though.
Younger.
No.
But, yeah, so anyway, and I guess it was David that kind of said when she was like, why would you think he's into you?
Right.
Maybe he, you know, like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, maybe he'd be into me or whatever. And David kind of says, you know, I've swam in both ponds. I'm really good at navigating the waters, which I kind of like that line.
Yes.
I thought that was funny.
So we're back at the restaurant. And I noted that Moira and Johnny seem to be having more fun than we've seen them have in this entire
totally
series.
Enjoying reminiscing about parties that they'd have attended and other, you know, friends that they had hung out with, that, you know, common friends and everything.
Yes.
Yeah, they're really enjoying this dinner, definitely. But then things quickly change.
Because, of course, Roland and Jocelyn show up. They've decided to, I don't know how they feel like they're going to be able to use this coupon, but they're going to just go out to dinner.
Why not?
Of course, they're visibly offended by the fact that, you know, Johnny Moira said they are not.
Of course.
They're doing something together.
Everybody would feel that
way. Oh, of course. Yeah, yeah,
you know,
right.
If you walked in and you know, after someone had said they would not, you know, enjoy an evening out with you and they're there with another couple. Yeah, that's offensive. Definitely.
And Jocelyn seems, I don't want to say more offended. Jocelyn seems more hurt, I guess. I guess offended is another way to say hurt, but she almost seems like, let's just leave them to their dinner. Let's just go. Like she's not there to ruin their good time.
Yeah.
She seems hurt by this.
I kind of thought she was like, I get it. Like, they didn't want to go out with I don't know. I didn't get
really?
A hurt feeling from her.
All
I just
thought
she was like, all right, like, let's just go do our thing. Right. They're, you know, enjoying a dinner, and we're not.
But that's not Roland, of course.
Well, yeah,
because they kind of invite themselves to sit down with them.
But,
not really, because they are invited.
Yeah, they invite them to join them and everything.
Right.
When they mentioned about it being their anniversary, like, Don and Bev didn't even know that.
Yeah, they're
maybe that, too, was why. I don't know. I just didn't get a feeling that they were super offended by it. And maybe when they said that, like, oh, it's your anniversary. Like, we didn't even know. Then maybe Jocelyn's like, oh, well, maybe this wasn't a planned thing.
Yeah,
to
they probably
celebrate
just
celebrate together.
Yep, ran into
maybe
these
it really
people.
Just did happen.
Yes.
So, yes, of course, they invited them to join them. And we don't get to see all their fun dinner table conversation just yet, because we go back to the party. And Alexis has shown up uninvited. And immediately, like, she looks super cute and super dressed up, very Alexis-y. She has a great dress on, you know, and immediately, like, Mutt comes over to greet her. She kind of says, like, is it really weird that I'm here?
Now, I don't remember, has Mutt been in this season or no?
Yeah, they broke up in this season.
Oh, they did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is what happens when we take a hiatus like that. I can't remember episode to episode, season to season, what's happening. Okay.
Yeah, they they got together and broke up in this season.
Wow.
They get together right at the end of season one. Because remember when they find him, she says to David that things have gotten complicated.
Oh, yes.
And that they slept together.
You're
when
right.
They find him and he's
got
in
it.
The Amish field. So, yes.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
Fantastic.
So she kind of says, like, is it weird that I'm here? And she wanted him to say, like, no,
it's great that,
like,
you're here. Right.
She totally, I think, kind of figured this would be a reconnection between them. Don't you think?
I don't know. I think so, based on what happens.
Otherwise, why would she? Why wouldn't? Well, again,
I don't know
like
if it's just Alexis
friends.
Being like,
"Yeah,
look at me, look how good I look." Our breakup wasn't
true.
Bad
yeah,
for
right.
me. I spent one night by myself, finding myself. It was great. I'm fine now. Like, I don't know if it's that or, like you're saying, if she wants to sort of reconnect, because then, of course, some lady shows up and it is
his new girlfriend.
So I think either way, doesn't matter how you're looking at what Alexis is doing, that is kind of bad for both of these. If she's trying to get back together with him, it's bad.
Yeah.
Or if she's trying to say, I've moved on. Well, clearly
he's moved way beyond that. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So he introduces her to his new girlfriend. Her name is Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Yes.
They do talk about, the new girlfriend kind of like flatters Alexis or tries to for a little bit.
She's very kind, you know. And
you're so cute. You're like a little poem.
Alexis says that to her.
Oh, no. Alexis says, you're like a poem too, a pretty poem.
Oh.
Or a mermaid.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She does say that. Yeah. But I love Alexis's reaction. This is like another, I feel like a meme that you always see of her. Like a wow, wow, wowie.
Right.
You know, like kind of reacting because she's totally caught off guard by this. And I do, you know, I think her feelings are a little hurt that he's moved on and you know, she's still just chilling at the motel.
Tennessee. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Tennessee is played by an actress named Sarah Power. She got her start in an American Pie sequel and Saw 5.
Do you think that's how Eugene?
Oh, my God. I didn't even connect those dots, but sure. I mean, maybe. I don't know how many of those sequels he popped up in.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think he was in a lot of sequels.
I think he was too.
I think that was just like paycheck, paycheck, paycheck. Like,
he might have been it. I'm not sure. I think I saw the first one, and that was maybe the only one I ever saw, so I don't know for certain. But
so after a few one-offs on a bunch of TV series, she got the role on Schitt's Creek, and will show up again. She'll be in the next episode, episode 1 of season 3, and that's it for her throughout the series, though. Since then, though, she's had main roles in the TV series Killjoys for 3 seasons and Good Witch for 5 seasons, and that's, I think that one's still going, so she really was able to get some good work. Yeah.
Alexis comments on the fact that Mutt has grown his beard because we know he shaved his beard off, and that was a big deal.
Yep, because he just felt like it.
And he said, well, you know, Tennessee really likes it.
Right. Yes.
And of course, Alexis is like, well, you know, she's going to go mingle. And she says, of course, nice to meet you, Tallahassee.
Yep.
So she kind of butchers her name and. And then, you know, she corrects her and everything. And she's like, oh, thank God you look the way you do. Because that name on the wrong girl, you know, so she kind of makes the funny comment about that.
So now we're back in the restaurant.
Yes.
And
Don.
Bev. Oh, I was going to say.
I was thinking Don was kind of the spark into the conversation about where are you living.
Yes. Now. Yeah. She asked Moira where they're staying. Mm-hmm. And strangely enough, I think, like, Jocelyn's trying to help them or not necessarily
out
them a little
bit. Yeah, that's why I feel like she played along very well, which is why I feel like she was not offended or angry because I think she really was trying to help them.
Yes.
To, you know, like, not reveal the situation that they were in.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And so I don't know if Roland is just doing this to mess with them or if he's just oblivious to everything and just.
The best part was that they described the motel in such a way that it made it just sound like they had like this amazing they had 10 bedrooms and this amazing staff and Stevie, and you know, they mentioned her.
Stevie is just a staff of one, though. That's
Yeah,
she and plenty of whole staff.
Yeah, plenty of parking. Jocelyn chimes in with. So they really try to make this the motel,
right?
You know, it's just the way they sort of like, you know, kind of loosely talk about it.
Exactly.
Bev and Don are, of course, completely impressed and think that they are living this, you know, in this amazing home. And then I think it's Bev that says, "Oh my gosh, you know, we have to tell you. On the way here, we drove through. What was the town's name?" And she said, "Was it Shittstown?" And Don's like, "No, I think it was Shittsville." Like they didn't even remember and recall the name. And then, you know, Roland kind of gets offended, by this.
And Roland gets offended, but he's kind of holding back though. He's not going to say anything.
You can tell that he's bothered by it, but he does not, you know, like right away, he doesn't, you know, explode or do anything or really say anything.
But that would be so tough to do. If you're Bev and John,
Don.
Whatever, Bev and Don.
Yeah.
Not to point that out. Not to talk about that at dinner. Like, and that's
like Slaughter Beach.
Right, yes. And that's the joke of the name of the series. Well, like, the whole thing is a joke. How do you not bring that up? And I get it. Like, I understand where this, you know, we know where this goes and everything. Mm-hmm. But that would be impossible not to bring that up. And
it's definitely an unusual town name. As is Slaughter Beach, for people that don't know. It's in Delaware.
Yeah.
It's a real place. There's a real exit.
Yeah. Called Slaughter Beach.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
It is. But it's so fun. Like every time we pass the exit, it's like, oh, Slaughter Beach. There it is.
Yep.
So, yeah. But But then before anything can really happen or anything more can come of their conversation, we get back to the party and we have Ten and Alexis. And they have a really sweet conversation. Really sweet. You know, Ted's kind of asking to her about, you know, are you having fun?
Yeah.
And Alexis doesn't even really answer him. And she's just like, how did you do it?
Right.
And at first he's not really even sure, you know, what she's really referring to.
Right.
And then she was like, how could you be so cool with me and, yes, and everything after our breakup?
Which is a great question. Not only cool, but like, I'll just hire you to work here.
Oh,
like,
totally.
Above and beyond. Yeah. And also, like, the fact that, you know, we go back to the episode where he did show up. Like, he's just on that motorcycle and seems totally fine with just I'm fine now.
Yeah.
And that's a great question for her to ask him.
Yeah.
And finally, I mean, this is so important because finally they're talking about this.
Yeah.
Like, they're working together. He interviewed her. Like, they had no discussion of their relationship, of their breakup, or anything like that. Just maybe little things here or there that he said, but no actual coming together and talking about this.
Yeah. Yeah. And he said it was, he said he talked about when he went on the little couples retreat and everything afterwards without her. And he's like, first, I just couldn't stop crying.
Right.
I'm just thinking of poor Ted. You know, and then he talked about going ziplining, I think, right?
Yep.
And the instructor really seemed to have, like, these words of wisdom that, like, he just needed to do it and he just needed to get through it. You just got to get through it. And, you know, I think he kind of took those words to heart. And then he, you know, was
I think it's funny
that time to work through.
That he does say that breakup. About you just have to do it. You just have to get through it. And she says something like, oh, you were talking to him about our relationship. And he goes, well, no, at first it was about ziplining because I'm really afraid of heights.
Uh-huh.
It's like, okay,
yeah,
that's pretty good.
Yeah. But Alexis sort of apologizes then, which is really, you know, she's, again, I think that's like a little glimpse into her growth.
Right.
You know, just because I think the old Alexis would not have thought anything of, like, casting him aside and
not at all.
She wouldn't have felt bad about sleeping with Mutt and ruining that relationship, probably. She was relatively shallow with relationships.
Right,
and,
yeah.
You know, so again, like, she's apologizing.
Yeah.
And she realizes
in the past, Alexis probably
hurtful.
Would have, like, even if she showed up and Mutt was with some woman or something, like, the past Alexis would be like, there's some guy named Jake. Like, I'll just go with him now. Like,
yeah,
there wouldn't be any of this with the Alexis from, you know, 2 years back or even a year back.
Yeah. So it's nice, again, to get a glimpse into that growth of her character. And yeah, Ted asked her for a dance.
A staff dance.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
And
they
go. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now we're back. Jake and David are talking, and he asks David if he and Stevie are together.
Well, first David talks about he thought he was shame eating in private.
Oh, yes. And he doesn't know what shame eating is.
He didn't know what shame eating was. But yeah, that was a great line as well. I like that.
Right.
Yeah. And he does ask if he is here with Stevie.
Uh-huh.
And David's like, no, I'm very much single.
Right. Yes.
So you can tell he's definitely, his interest is piqued. And Jake. And Jake kind of asks if he would like to go outside and get some air.
Yes.
But then we are back at the restaurant.
Yep, back at the restaurant. And Johnny's had enough of this.
Well, yeah, they kind of
town talking.
Yeah, I think Bev and Don are kind of like saying, well, Roland, what do you do?
Right.
You know,
yes.
Like basically, like now they're kind of, they already sort of mocked the town, and now they're sort of, you can tell there's turning and kind of setting their sights on Roland, and now it's going to sort of turn into a probably not real kind interaction
with him. Yeah, no.
And
they
Jocelyn,
ask him if he's in the agricultural field.
yeah and Jocelyn kind of says no, he's actually the mayor of our town. And yeah, because Johnny, like you said, he now has had enough.
Yeah.
And he really kind of stands up.
Yeah. Really lays into these people, too.
Stands up for the town. Stands up for the
friends. At first, Moira's not crazy about this.
No.
Moira's,
you can,
like,
tell she
just
sort of had her hand on her head, and she was not really pleased.
Right.
But you can tell. I mean, Johnny, I think, had so much resentment toward them. He was really trying not to show it.
Yeah, and that's really what this is.
But the fact he's like, you left us high and dry. You wrote us off.
Yeah. Because, you know, he's just been sitting there the whole time. The moment they met these
totally
people.
Totally fake
that's
interaction.
What he's been thinking about the whole time.
Right,
yeah.
He was stewing. Like, that was just running through his head about how, you know, we are struggling and you, you know, we're such good friends and you ditched us. You abandoned us and made no contact with us.
Yeah.
You could have, you know, I think he even said, like, you could have reached out, you could have called, you could have done something, and they didn't do anything.
And there's really nothing they can say to this either. They try and interrupt him, but it's not even to interrupt to say, we tried to call. Like, there's nothing. Mm-hmm. They can't say anything about this.
And then it's so awesomely amazing when you hear about just all the things that he says about Jocelyn and Roland. Like, they, you know, helped us to find a place to live.
Right.
They lend us their car whenever we need it.
Their truck.
Sorry. You know, and he just goes through all the really kind things.
Yeah,
because
it really
done.
Is. These people don't have much, but what they do have,
they
were able to give us and able to help us out when nobody else would.
And it's so sweet to watch just how, like, Jocelyn just lights up.
Oh, sure.
Like, when she hears just the kind things that he's saying and, like,
yeah.
You know, you always know, like, they show appreciation, I think, for those things, like the roses, but not really, in a real, you know, I don't know. Like, it might be a quick thank you, but I think the whole time, like, they still don't really feel like they have, like, a real friendship forged with them.
Yes. Yeah, and plus, I'm sure there's an element of Johnny now feeling guilty about not having dinner with them or not wanting to have
and
dinner with
and kind of
these
realizing,
people.
Like, my dinner with Jocelyn and Roland would have been so much more pleasant and so much nicer than having dinner with these people that, you know, really don't care about us and are putting on a total act and putting on airs to... you know.
Yeah, no, it's really the one thing you say or we say a lot is you like the sentimental episodes probably
totally.
More than I do.
Yes.
But it's so great here. It doesn't seem forced. It doesn't seem sappy or anything like that. It's good and it feels very natural.
Yes.
And it makes you wonder, like, why, if Roland and Jocelyn never came, would he have said anything? He probably wouldn't have. They probably would have eaten and left, and he'd probably be regretting not saying anything to these people.
Yeah, and I love when he said they invited us to come out to dinner tonight and everything, and Roland was like, well, we had the coupon. And just, it's such a small, tiny little moment, but when he says about having the coupon, like, Johnny just sits there, and he sort of does this little chuckle, and it's just so natural and so, like... Yep, like, that's Roland. But, like, appreciated that comment, like, wasn't embarrassed, like, didn't think, oh, my God, Roland. Like, and it's just such a small, tiny moment, but I just love just his reaction to that and just how natural and how sweet it is, you know, that he just sort of chuckles about it.
You're right.
And then he sort of reveals. He was like, in that town you pass through, it's not Schittsville, it's Schitt's Creek, and it's where we live. And again, like, I think we've always looked at Johnny as saying he is the, out of the family, he is probably the one that's the most grounded.
Yeah.
He's the one that, you know, has adjusted the best to being in this town and this situation. Although, you know, like, he's trying to find a job and he wants to support his family and everything.
Right.
But I think he has been able to kind of transition and deal with this loss of everything. I think the best out of all of them. But yeah, again, like, I feel like you just see Moira really doesn't say much throughout any of it.
No, she doesn't.
But I think it's just so cool to see, like, just, again, this the growth of this family.
Yes.
You know, like, the old Moira probably would have wanted to come in and say, well, you know, but we're going to be back on our feet soon. And she would want to interject with some things. But she just kind of let him go and she let him lay into them. And, you know, I think the old Moira would have wanted to, like, oh my God, no, like, everything's fine. And oh my gosh, Johnny doesn't mean this. And, you know, and she doesn't do that. And for her character, I think hers is the one that sort of is a slow growth.
Yeah. She's
so
the one,
I think this is like a big step for her. And
if Johnny's really the one that's having the easiest time, she is and will continue to be the family member having the most difficult time with this.
Right, but I think, again, the fact that she didn't interject, the fact that she didn't try to defend Bev and Don, And she really let Johnny just take that and run with it and put them in their place, I think is, it says a huge piece for her.
It is.
Yep.
You're right. Mm-hmm. But let's go back to the barn. Mm-hmm. Well, we're outside the barn.
Yes.
Jake and David are talking outside and then they end up kissing.
Yes.
And
but before that happens, they have a whole, Jake talks about his wood shop. And David mentions about how he took wood shop in high school and a girl in his class nailed her hand to her paper towel holder.
Yes. I don't understand. It was a really,
I think
means.
It was just he, I think he was like feeling a little awkward. Right. And that was like his way to kind of have a conversation.
How do you nail your hand to a paper towel?
That was great.
And in my mind, I'm sitting there going, does he mean like a cardboard paper towel tube?
Because no, you can just pull that shop. Off. You didn't you make a paper towel holder in wood shop? I think we did.
Oh my God.
We did, I think. Or my brother did. Our projects might have been different, and my brother.
I wasn't even thinking about those stupid things that you would make in wood shop.
Yeah. What?
I thought it was literally like a cardboard paper towel tube.
No, yes. Like you would make all those things, and I'm pretty sure that one of us, like either my brother or I, made a wooden paper towel holder. So, yeah, we had a girl in our wood shop. She got her hair stuck. She had super crazy long hair. She wasn't in my class, but in another class. She got like her hair stuck in like the buffer or something. It was a big deal.
Aren't you supposed to pull your hair back or something?
You would think.
That's a terrible woodshop teacher, let's say.
Well, I guess, yeah. But anyway, that's what David's story kind of reminded me of.
Well, that story makes so much more sense now that I understand it.
Oh, I can't believe you couldn't figure that out.
No, we didn't make paper towel. We made clocks. We made like these nice clocks that worked to put batteries in.
All right, Mr. Fancy. Okay.
It's not that fancy. It was like a kit.
Never mind. We did things where you had to like cut the wood. Like they handed you a chunk of wood and you had to like cut it from scratch.
You had to cut
with the jigsaw. As a seventh grader.
You had to cut the wood, but it was very like by the numbers. Okay. Like, you know, which is probably the same with a paper towel holder.
Okay. But anyway, I just thought that was super funny and I loved that he was trying to make that connection, I guess, to wood shop. But so they did kiss. And Jake kind of mentions it to him, like, you really should stop by my shop. Jake is just, like, super ultra cool. I feel like he's like, hey, yeah, like, I'll kiss you. You really should stop by. We should connect. We, you know, like, but he's just, like, very nonchalant, maybe is the word.
Yeah, let's say that. Yes.
Like, yeah, like, this sounds great. Like, we should connect again.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's almost like not a disinterest, but just a very like casual. Whatever.
Yeah, like it's just kind of a casual. Like, yeah, this would be great. I'd love to, you know, hook up with you in my wood shop.
Right.
Yes. And the best part is David, one of my favorites from this is his awkward little run back into the party. Like his arms are kind of flailing, and he runs back in, and encounters Stevie and Twyla.
Yeah, I like how Twyla's just hanging out in the background, just right in the background.
Yeah,
there.
No, but they were hanging out with some townies.
Yep, though they were getting high with some townies because they didn't want to offend them.
They didn't want to offend them,
which is great.
Yeah. And they said they didn't want to burn any bridges. Right. And then Twyla goes, "Well, actually, these boys burned some bridges last summer." But yeah. But then David kind of breaks the news from Stevie that Jake is really into me. And she's like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
And he's like, because we just, and I loved, again, his wording here, we just necked out by the barn. Which was great. And then, of course, Stevie's reaction is, she kind of like touches her lips, you know, in a really seductive way. And she's like, I kissed him too.
Right.
Which makes me like, is she meaning tonight?
That's how I read it.
Okay. Or I was like, do they have, like, a history?
I feel like she would have mentioned that earlier.
Maybe. Yeah, that's true. When they were initially looking at him.
When he's asking her all about him, I assume she would have said it.
Did they know each other? I guess.
Yeah.
Because they live in the town, right? Okay.
Yes.
Like, together and everything. We talked about that. Okay. But yeah, and then I love how David's like, well, did he invite you to his wood shop? And then he's like, that totally came out wrong.
Right.
So, yeah. So a lot of really great Stevie interactions. Yeah. Twyla was great in this scene, even though it was a real quick glimpse of her.
Very quick. But
again,
yes.
A great story that she had, a little snippet, uh-huh. You know. And then the party crashers arrive.
Yep. The parents show up to the party.
Yes.
And everyone seems so like, oh, my parents. Oh, this is terrible. Right. Why? And I was like, they already had a barn party last season. Like, it shouldn't be that weird that they're here. But I guess they are the only people over the age of 30
totally. Yeah.
At this
like,
party.
No one else. It seems like it's all kind of their peers, right. Their age yes. range and everything. And I love how Johnny walks in. He's like, it smells like grass in right. here. You know?
Moira seems wasted. Totally hammered from this high alcohol
well,
content.
Well, I'm sure
wine.
She was, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. They did order the highest alcohol right. content. Yeah, we forgot you didn't mention that. Yeah. But, yeah. Yeah, well, when they show up, Alexis is like, this is not okay.
Right.
You know, like, what are you doing here? And, yeah, the kids are kind of a little bit horrified at first. And Moira just kind of shushes her right away.
Yep.
And, of course, the you know, the music's playing in the background. Precious Love is the song
yes.
that's playing. And yeah, Johnny, it's just very, very sweet. Johnny's like, nope, you know, no arguments.
Yeah.
No, tonight we're dancing as a family.
Right, yes.
Which, again, I think just those as a family words, like, when before would they ever do anything
no,
as a
never,
family?
No, never, never.
You know.
I think it's funny how Moira says that she loves her kids, and then yeah. basically everybody pressures David into also
saying it.
It.
Yeah,
yes.
like he sort of rolls his eyes right. and everything as he says it. But, you know, and I love how, and really, like, she stumbles to say she loves her kids.
Oh, sure.
She's like, I hold you both in great affection. And Johnny's like, just say it,
yeah.
Moira.
She's
you know?
Stumbling through everything, though.
Oh, totally.
She's, yeah. That
but,
line that Roland got. I
yeah,
don't know what the
right,
alcohol content
yeah.
was of that wine, but she can't keep it together.
But yeah, so they, you know, and at the end, everybody's dancing. The,
right.
Johnny's dance moves are hysterical.
Oh, yeah.
They're totally awesome.
Uh-huh.
Jocelyn and Roland
yep.
also have some great moves. But it's also nice, too, because you see as the Rose family is kind of reconnecting and just sort of like their familial bond
yep.
has grown. You kind of see Jocelyn and Roland and Mutt. And
sure.
Roland and Mutt seem to kind of like make a little bit of amends as well as they show up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they kind of hug and everything, which we know from the past episodes that Roland and Mutt
yeah.
did not have a good relationship. So it's kind of nice to see that they, like, I'm wondering if we obviously know Jocelyn was connecting with him because initially
right.
Alexis
secretly.
Thought that they were having an, you
yeah.
know, an affair or whatever before she learned. And I'm sort of wondering, like, was Roland at Moira's
he was.
Birthday? Okay.
Yes. Because remember he had his hands on Jocelyn's butt?
Oh, yes,
yes.
You're right. Okay.
But I think that's the only, I mean.
Because I was kind of wondering, like, is this almost their first reconnection? But I guess.
I think those are the only times
yeah.
that they've been in scenes together, though.
Yeah, maybe.
Or in the, even in the same location at the
yeah.
same time.
Yeah, so because that's what I was kind of wondering, like. Did he come and that was really kind of their first like let's
yeah but
kind of
I, but
this,
I don't
this bridge
but at the other party I don't think there was any coming together between the two of them
yeah.
or maybe even really any interaction between the two of them
yeah
because he decides to accept Mutt for who he is basically just because he talked to Johnny
mm-hmm.
when they were both high
right.
Like that
right.
was it so we
yeah.
don't see them
yeah,
talking
that's true.
I mean I assume. They did talk.
Right.
I assume there was some sort of, you know, discussion
yeah.
or, you know, resolution to
yeah.
this. But it's not like we see it, so.
Yeah.
Yep.
They kind of pressure David a little bit. Like, Alexis
right.
is very quick to say,
oh, sure.
you know, oh, I love you too,
yeah.
you know. And although they kind of have to pressure David into saying it when he says it, you know. And then we kind of see everybody dancing. Everybody's
yeah.
having fun. And just the ending shot of David just sort of like looking off and he
yeah.
just has this smile that we've
right.
never seen really on David.
No.
Like, and it's so, it's just like this little magical moment at the end
yes.
where he is finally feeling, I think, a part of something.
Yes. Yeah.
You know? And I think, you know, he's finally feeling more comfortable with
yeah,
where he's at.
Right.
In
it's
life.
A genuine smile. I mean,
yes.
the only other times that he's really smiling or just when he and Stevie have these weird little jabs at
like
each
sarcastic.
Other.
Like sarcastic.
Yes, exactly.
Or like a best wishes, warmest regards right. kind of situation.
Right, yes.
But yeah, it is. It's like a really very sweet, yeah. very genuine smile. That's, yeah, genuine mm-hmm. is a good word. I wasn't really pulling words well to put in there. But yeah, just a really sweet mm-hmm. smile. And yeah, it just is a lovely moment to end season two.
Yeah, and that is, I mean, we are done with season two.
Yeah, and I feel like the end of season one was such, like, the family was kind of so, I don't want to say the family, but, like, everybody was still struggling, but it was sort of like David was broken at the end.
Right.
You know, like, he left and was, like, driving off yes. and in despair and... It's so the parallel from the end of season one to the end of season two right. and how he drove away crying mm-hmm. in the car. And now we see him surrounded by everybody in this town with this really genuine, yeah. sweet smile is such a unique parallel how they did it.
Oh, yeah, of course. And, yeah, it ended at the same location. I mean, they're all in Mutt's barn. That wasn't the final episode. Sorry.
No.
Yeah, so I was thinking of the episode before. Yeah.
But it just is really sweet to just see the growth of everybody.
Right. Oh, definitely.
Through this season. Yeah. And I just hit that smile at the end, I think, is just perfect. Like Dan Levy wrote it perfectly. Mm-hmm. He played it out perfectly. And it was nice to see a really happy ending.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
For this second season.
Yes.
This is so great.
So at the end of every episode, we rank the episodes of this series from our favorite Schitt's Creek episode to our least favorite Schitt's Creek episode. Carla, if this episode were a Mutt barn party, would you crash the party or would you sit around waiting for an invite that may never come?
Wow. Well, you already made mention of the fact that the sentimental episodes mm-hmm. and like just how they weave together like moments like this that show the growth of the mm-hmm. family. I love that.
Okay.
Like that totally. That song at the end, like Precious Love, when that plays uh-huh. and everybody's dancing and everybody's together. It just is like so heartwarming to me.
Yeah.
I know that sounds totally lame. But that is just... As much as I love the really hysterically funny moments,
sure,
those really sweet sentimental moments really get me. So I would probably, and it's very hard because it's hard for me to decide between like where I want to put this. It's definitely like I have Finding David just because of the great humor. I absolutely love mm-hmm. love that episode. But the first episode I love as well. I think this would have to be my new number three.
Okay.
I really love it. I it's hard to even decide right. what order to put those in out of those first three. They're
oh,
by
sure.
far my favorite episodes yeah. and they could all tie for first because it is really hard. But yeah, I think I would probably put it in as my new number three. And it's everything about it. Like, just, you know, I love the Jocelyn Roland interaction. I love mm-hmm. Johnny standing up to Bev and Don. I love the party at Mutt's Barn and the Stevie interactions
yeah.
and Jake coming in. And so, yeah, there's a lot of things I really love about this.
Well.
How about you?
The only thing we're going to differ on.
Oh, man.
Is that your top four episodes are episode 1, episode 13, episode 13.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference is I have Carl's funeral sneaking in as my number four.
Mm-hmm.
This is my new number two.
Oh.
This is such a great episode.
Oh,
and
I
wasn't sure. I was thinking about maybe putting it below Finding David.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in talking about it, I liked it more.
Oh, okay.
Than I thought I did.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Him sitting in that field in the helmet length sweatshirt.
Don't argue with me. What are you doing? This is my list.
I don't know.
Your
list.
List
might be wrong. I'm
nope,
not sure.
My list is, so wait a second. Hold on.
You forced me to do this list.
You're
and
not
it stresses
happy.
Me out. I talk about that all the time.
Yours can be number three, but mine can't be two. That's that's wrong.
No, I know. I just, I don't know. Finding David is just like,
it is
I
really
can't good. Even.
No,
that one is just for the laugh. I mean, the sure. laughs. This yes. is like the sentimentalness of it. But like my other two are just because I just laughed the yeah. whole way through. So it's hard to decide, like, is it the funny episode or is it the sentimental episode? Like, which, I don't know. It,
yeah.
it was really tough to even no, make a decision
I
of where to put it.
I think there's so much, as you said, that happens with this family in this one. I think the only odd person out is Moira in this episode, I think. Like you said, she kind of hangs back. She doesn't really do much.
She is yeah. quiet. But then I think, again,
But that's good. That's important right, for her to right. be quiet.
Yes. So, yeah. And yeah. I think, like, professing the love for the kids at the end, when right. we know, you know, she's basically, like,
of course.
Didn't know her kid's middle yeah. name. Even though she might be a little bit drunk, yeah. I still think it's,
yeah,
you know,
sure.
it's a sweet, endearing,
no, this is a really
moment.
Great episode, and I mm-hmm. think something that, I mean, we certainly talked about it, but I think it could get overshadowed is everything with Alexis and Ted. Mm-hmm. I think that was so important mm-hmm. to do that, to finally have that resolution.
That little closure for
yeah,
them.
They've been interacting yeah. throughout most of the season, just mm-hmm. like the two of them, at least for, you know, the second half of the season.
Right.
And you know, their relationship has gotten, you know, it's progressed and become something different than mm-hmm. it was last season.
Yeah.
And he's become such a large character.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, we know will continue on to be a significant character
right.
in this. But it's one
right.
of those things where suddenly Mutt has left, you know, town council in the dust. Those people, like, the like he used to be on par with Ronnie as far as how often he was in it. But
oh,
he's
oh.
overtaken
okay.
her.
Okay, I was like, where are
no,
you going?
No,
I didn't even understand where you were going.
But even, like,
that, but,
you know,
okay.
he has so much more screen time than even Twilight and stuff.
Presence,
so he's becoming
yeah.
so much more of a character that it's nice that they mm-hmm. finally had them. Talk
yes.
this out.
Yes.
So, yeah, so that's it. We have made it through two seasons of the show.
And if you're still with us, God bless you.
Yeah, you only have four more seasons to go.
Yeah.
Who knows how many years that'll take us.
Unsubscribe now.
Yes. Right. Yeah, just like you'll get an alert on Facebook or something when we finish the series. And then you can go, oh, okay, they did it. I'll just go back through and listen mm-hmm. now. So in 2 weeks, we will talk about the first episode of season three,
opening night.
Until then, thanks for listening. Review us, rate us, whatever, wherever you get the podcast, please do so. That helps us. And we will talk to you then.
More Mr. Cards.